Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch takes us out to Ashburn. The radio, we can do that. 11:30, get you ready for the Redskins and the Chargers. Thursday night football tonight should be really good. We'll preview the game today. Saints and Falcons. Right now, though, we're reacting to what Mike Mitchell had to say in the locker room. Give me the long clip if you can. Mitchell talking about his teammate, Juju Smith-Schuster, suspended for a game for a block, on a day in which the NFL said that it is going to consider college football's targeting rules that kick you out of a game for a 15-yard penalty, unnecessary roughness, blow high up around the opponent's helmet. And while, remember, the irony of this all is, he's got a teammate in the hospital right now who we're waiting for an update to see if he's moving around and walking and what's going on with Ryan Shazier.
Yeah.
This was Mitchell yesterday.
End of the day, this is football. If you want to see flag football, then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me because now I don't got to wear heavy s***. But give us flags for me to pull off because that way I know what we're playing. You know, I signed up to play full-speed contact football, and we're not doing that. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you? And that's crazy. I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. Damn it, your quarterback shouldn't have threw that ball messed up. That happened 2 years ago. I'm not joking at all. Andy Dalton threw a ball to Tyler Eifert 2 years ago. Tyler Eifert had to dive for it. I was aiming for his gut. But if he don't dive, he don't get in the head. That's 50 grand out of my pocket, though, because Andy throws a bad ball. Make that make sense. And at first you're taking our money, but now, you know, I got like Matt Hasselbeck calling me a dirty player and trying my character, and we've never met before. I donate more money to Cincinnati, underprivileged kids, and probably the people on the Bengals. So don't give me that name. My nephew goes to school there, man. I take all that personally. If you don't know me, if you never had a conversation with me, don't judge us by what you see on football, because football is my competitive side. You know what I'm saying? So it's just so much going on in the game right now. Yes, obviously I'm a little flustered, but I mean, we just got to do better. We got to do better. I said it yesterday. We got to do better as players when we sign the next CBA. We got to get better leadership as who's running the league, because obviously everybody from fans, owners, players, all disappointed in Roger Goodell. We just got to do better. We can't have a guy where you just hand out discipline on how you see fit. There needs to be a set guideline of how we do what we do.
Slow clap for Mike Mitchell in the back end there. And I also love the point about don't judge me based on what you see on the football field. This is my competitive side. You know, everyone's a little bit different in the heat of the moment at work. You know what I mean? Like, if I only based my opinion on Skip Bayless, the human being, based on what he is on TV, it's probably different than if I met the guy in person.
Yeah.
You know?
But at the same time, I'm a little over the Richard Sherman says something brash and outrageous and is a jerk in public and then writes the column about how I'm a bad person because I judged him based on his public actions.
Yeah, I think that's a different thing. I guess my point is, like, we're going to be, if you meet me at a sports bar and we talk about sports, the conversation is going to go very differently than if you call in and say something crazy and get into an argument on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
People that just listen to this show all the time probably think I'm way more opinionated and way more a jerk than I actually am.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
And in the NFL context, if you just see a guy blowing people up in the middle of the field, you go, oh, what an idiot. What a dirty player. What a jerk that guy is. Well, maybe not. Maybe he's just a safety who's trying to become one of the best players in the league at his position so he can get an $8 million contract.
Just trying to not get replaced, which is what every player has to deal with.
JP's in Bethesda. What's up, JP?
What's up, guys? First time, long time.
Appreciate it.
Hey, man, I just wanted to call out Grant for his false equivalency about NASCAR. They've been using restrictor plates, which basically just restrict the amount of air that comes into the engine and reduces the power. So you're wrong about that one, because you're a great NFL analyst, dude.
They use that on two tracks a year, correct?
I think so. They're definitely a thing.
How many races do they have?
Don't know. But I just know you're wrong about that fact.
What? I don't know what. But what is, okay.
4 out of 36, dude.
Yeah, so it, on 4 tracks, they do that. So 32 tracks, they don't do that.
2 tracks, 2 races a year.
Wasn't the comp that there's an inherent risk and there's an opt-in?
Yeah. Well, my point was...
What are you wrong about?
I don't know. He might be right. My original point was they're not doing anything to change that it's still very unsafe to drive in NASCAR. Like, they're not making the cars less fast. They're getting faster or staying the same. They're not making the tracks less arduous to drive on. They are still very much dangerous to drive on. Now, maybe he's right. This restrictor plate thing is evidence against that. But Tom's point is they're doing that for 4 of 36 races. So if they really cared about making the cars not as fast, they would do that for all 36 races, I feel
okay.
like.
I mean, again, I'm not mad at anybody. Simply saying that your point to me is, hey, there's an inherent risk in NASCAR and boxing and MMA and certain dangerous sports.
Yeah, I'll stand by my point. He was very upset, though. It seemed like.
Okay. There's an inherent risk. Can we all agree? We all agree. Hands on buzzers, and we moved on.
Yeah. I would give his point a lot more credence as a good rebuttal if it happened on more than, you know, a handful of percentage points of the time in the races that they have. But in general, right now, Tom, here would be my question. Is a lap around the track in a random race faster or the same speed now as it was 10 years ago, or has it gotten slower?
It's probably faster by a couple miles per hour. It's always been the same.
But they're not working to say, hey, we could have a great race at 100 miles an hour. We don't need to be up to 212.
No, they would never do that.
Right. So I would
say there have
that
been
point.
Adjustments in how the cars are built and how the safety technology is for the drivers themselves.
Absolutely. But that's the equivalent of football helmets. Like, I want that. I want pads. I want helmets. I want to get smarter with what you're using to protect yourself. They should get smarter in the car, just like they did when they put the brace around the necks, and now you can't move your helmet one way or the other. Yeah, I remember when they did that years ago after Dale Earnhardt.
In sports with inherent risk, or any sport, you should try to make it as safe as possible. I don't think anybody's saying anything crazy right now. I think we're all okay.
Let's go to John in Richmond. Good. What's up, John? How are you?
Hey, John.
Hey, good morning. I think the big problem is not so much the way the game is played, but the way the media portrays it. I think they embellish dirty play by showing guys are going into commercial breaks, both in pros and in college, preening and strutting over a fallen player. I think that, and a college player who wants to get on ESPN knows if he lays someone out and acts like that, he's going to get screen time.
Well, this is a good point, and it goes back to the Juju Smith-Schuster thing. I'm Team Mike Tomlin here. Mike Tomlin said the bigger problem he had with what Smith-Schuster did was standing over the player who you had just hit who was hurt. Not the actual hit itself.
But I think that's way less common than it used to be.
Am I crazy?
Yeah, am I crazy about that?
Yeah, I'm sure it is less common. But I think his point is they still ruin it for
everyone
else.
If it still happens, yeah.
Get that out of the game. You want to give a 15-yard penalty for taunting, which they did to Smith-Schuster, you should do it. If you want to have you taunt after a hit like that 2 times and you miss a half of football, I'm okay with that too. Get out of the game the macho nonsense of celebrating a guy who might get carted off in a minute. Because that's dumb. Rich and Only, what's up?
Richard.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Bob.
So when my coworker showed me Mike Mitchell's video, I literally gave him a high five. It was the most perfect thing you could possibly say. A few little tweaks to the existing rules solves so much of this. You know, you're not defenseless if you're able to lower your head to brace for a hit or stop making completely separate rules for the quarterbacks than for everybody else. These little modifications here and there, and it will help the game tremendously.
Appreciate you, man. Let's go to Dave in Haymarket, who's been waiting patiently. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, just a couple quick things. Long-time listener. I'm usually stuck on the stream, though. It's nice listening to you guys live.
Appreciate it, man.
I played rugby growing up, and there were some certain rules that you had in rugby. One, you have to make an attempt to rap. I don't really see a lot of rap now when people make an attempt to rap. You just throw in a shoulder or a head or something like that and try to just blast somebody off their feet. And the second one is there was no high tackling. You got penalized for high tackles as well. Nothing above the shoulders. You throw things like that in there. I mean, it's simply just true technical tackles where you wrap and pick and drop.
But when are you referencing, Dave? Because you go back 30 years ago, you had guys getting, you know, helmet to helmet was all the time. You had guys getting clotheslined and head slapped. I mean, the game was actually way more violent and savage then than now. When did we start quote-unquote tackling bad?
I just I just see a lot of just people throwing a shoulder at somebody nowadays.
You see the blow-ups a lot.
It happened back in the day, too.
It certainly did.
Go back and watch videos of some of the Jack Lambert plays. He's just completely throwing a shoulder or clothesline someone with an arm.
Of course. But I think what he's talking about, less fundamental tackling. I think that's a result of two things. One, less tackling. People tackle less now than they ever have
Absolutely.
In the history of the sport. That's
harder to be a good tackler when you don't get to practice it.
Yeah, you never get to do it. And I understand why. You want to preserve the health of these guys as long as possible. So it makes sense, but then it also leads to some bad habits, I would say. And then the other part is, as you come up through the youth ranks, I think there's a movement to try to do this now with the heads-up tackling program and the like, but the majority of folks don't really know what the hell they're doing. I mean, I remember as a kid with baseball, I only played football just a little bit, but my dad, God bless him, was like, yeah, get your elbow up as high as possible. Literally the worst thing you can do in all formats. But that's just what he knew. So you pass that on. There's not enough uniformity in terms of the information out there. It's getting better, but it's still got a long way to go.
Next on Grant and Danny, I've got a big update for you that you're going to love on one of my favorite stories of the year in sports. And I think you love this story as much as I did. But this is a brand new update that is going to make you all very happy.
I'm into that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back at 11:30. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Let me jog your memory on a story from several months back, Danny.
Yeah, what is this?
That you may have forgotten. So I also have to tread lightly because in 2017, now everything is a problem.
I'm almost offended right now.
Jeannie Bouchard is a tennis player who is also a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
So empirically, based on evidence, based on the standards for modeling, one could say, without hopefully getting anyone into trouble, she is attractive?
She is attractive.
Sorry, I'm sorry, buddy. That's not me saying that. I'm not saying that. I value everybody's intellect or whatever.
I'm going to go one step further. I find her to be one of the most stunningly beautiful human beings on the planet.
Danny, the word you're looking for is handsome.
Handsome. She's handsome.
Very handsome.
She
is a handsome lady.
Gorgeous. I love this chick. She's just a smoke show. That's what she is.
This entire segment is just
well. Remember, last time we talked about attractive females on the show, the social justice warriors came out of the woodworks in mass.
Well, you posted a poll. By the way, it was almost 2 weeks to the day when we debated who was more attractive between Doug Cameron and Dan Haley. Let's all settle down. Let's just remember we've got bigger fish.
Like a week after that, as I'm like feeling bad, I'm like, man, am I a terrible person? Am I really just going off the rails and I've become an awful person? What is going on in my life? I turn on like TV, and I'm flipping through channels, and on The View, they're talking about who's sexier, this guy or this guy, and Joy Bayer's screaming about this guy being a hunk. And I'm going, oh, wait, I guess it might be okay then.
Yeah,
I guess we're all going to be all right.
We're allowed. Should be okay.
Anyway, Jeannie Bouchard is so beautiful. I love her. She is a tennis player. She is a swimsuit model. Here's why we're bringing this up, and here's why this is a story. She is the person who tweeted during the Super Bowl. She's a 23-year-old tennis player. That she just knew the Falcons were going to beat the Patriots. And she tweeted when the Falcons were up 28-3 on New England. She said, I knew that Atlanta was going to win. And some random guy who's just like you or me, basically, some random dunk college kid, tweets at her when the Falcons are down by 25 points or up by 25 points and says, if the Patriots come back and win this game, will you go on a date with me? And she says, yes. So months later, at the end of last NBA season, this random guy, this random college kid, just a ham and egg or jabroni from any place that you've ever been to, goes on a date with one of the 13 hottest people on the planet, Jeannie Bouchard. And that's the story. It's so cool.
Everybody wins.
They go to a Nets game.
Yeah, it's like when Mila Kunis went to a military ball and like Justin Timberlake went to one. Like, it's awesome. There's no downside.
So on Instagram, she posts a picture of them like in an Uber. There's a baby in the back of her and the guy who she's going on a date with. And they're in a Ford Festiva, and they're on their way to the Nets game. This is months ago. This happened. It's over. They'll never see each other again. But, man, this is the coolest story ever.
Yeah,
this guy went on a date with Jeannie Bouchard. Who knows if he got a peck on the cheek? Who knows if they had a good conversation? Who knows if he got her cell phone number, but they went on a date. Win for everyone.
Yes, regular guys.
Here is your update, Danny Rouillet. I am not making this up. She posted last night on Twitter and Instagram. This is from 20 hours ago. This is about 7:30 last night.
Okay.
A picture of what looks like her laying on her couch in her house. And who is next to her but the guy who she went on the date with months ago.
Shut up.
A second date for the silly goose who tweeted her during the Super Bowl. And I kid you not, she is laying there makeupless on her couch, just having a comfortable night at home. And who's next to her, laying right next to her? The guy. I don't even know his name. I don't want to know his name.
I don't care about his name.
She tweets out, "Look who came to visit me," with a emoji with a kissy face.
Let me see it.
And then she says,
"Show me this.
Hashtag Super Bowl Twitter date." Look at how they're just laying on a couch. Either she's hilarious and she's just like, "Hey, dude, you want to come over and do something funny to like get 10,000 blogs talking about us?" And he said, "Yeah, no problem, Jeannie."
Hey, okay, Jeannie, I'll be right there.
She goes, "You know what? He was a really nice guy. He had a couple funny lines. He's actually a good-looking dude. I mean, if you want to be honest."
Like on the on a binary,
like
ugly
of all
or
the
attractive.
Things that could happen, yeah. If you're a beautiful female who has to go on a blind date with a guy who creepily hit you up on Twitter, this is the best case scenario.
Because if I show up, I'm like, "Hey, Jeannie, how you doing? You want to talk about Lord of the Rings?" Well, she's not going to be excited.
Or just, I mean, any just gross, hairy, 53-year-old guy wearing tidy whiteys could show up. I mean, this guy's, you know, pretty comely gentleman.
Handsome gentleman, by the way.
She is laying on a couch with this guy again. Date number two. I'm almost in tears.
This is so beautiful.
Isn't this amazing?
This is a damn Judd Apatow movie. You realize that? This is where Seth Rogen, who weighs 280 pounds, like, ends up with a hot girl.
Actually, you know what? It's so funny you say that. One of my favorite movies ever, and I think it's just when it came out, where I was in my life and everything. Teenager. High school kid. The Girl Next Door. Do you remember that movie?
Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah, Alicia Cuthbert, Emile Hirsch.
Emile Hirsch, who's so whiny.
He's just like a nerdy, whiny kid, and he ends up with this stunner that moves next to him for no reason.
Former porn star.
Absolutely. So this, to me, you're right, it could be a movie.
You don't remember what college Emile Hirsch wanted to get into but couldn't afford?
Georgetown. Get out of here. It was one of my favorite movies. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, and this is a dumb thing to say. What if they get married?
This is the fairy tale.
Or just become, screw married. What if they are a couple enough that, like, he...
Yeah, if you got to make the Congress.
Think about this.
What if you got to kiss her on the mouth? Just even that much is a damn fairy tale.
How about this? What if they just make out once?
Joyous. Set off fireworks. Let's all have a parade.
Kisses and some hand stuff.
Guy, this is what we've been looking for so many years. You know, every woman is like, "I just think the royal wedding is a fairy tale." It is. A modern day fairy tale. Like, I just think it's so beautiful to like think about and just it means the perfect. That's ours. That's our royal wedding.
This is my royal wedding.
The professionally hot woman who has her choice of any man that is on this planet.
Literally. I want to restate that real quick for you.
Yes.
There is not a single man on this planet who, if approached by Jeannie Bouchard to go on a date, would say no. There isn't one.
I mean, George Clooney would be like, "Listen, I know I'm married now, finally, but I'd probably have to go on the date."
I got to be honest, babe. You gave me that one get out of jail free card. I'm going to cash it in.
She's
right
on my
now.
List. It's laminated.
It's Jeannie Bouchard.
This is our royal wedding. This is it. This is what dudes should watch and start crying because of how beautiful it is.
This guy, Mike, just tweeted. He goes, "No makeup? This ain't no second date, LOL." Well, it's the second time they have disseminated photos of them hanging out.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. That's incredible. This is a win for all of the regular dudes. So for all the, like, again, think about this. The professionally hot. You know, like, all these hot girls are always complaining about guys. Like, they always get upset about guys. It's because you're going after the same, like, Freddy the Fitness guy. You're going after the same, like, chiseled 11 abs where your abs have abs. And
stop
every dude
going
is so
after
hot.
Nick Ashew and start to look around the rest of the staff directory.
That's the point. This is that time. This is why guys go to see Judd Apatow movies. It's because I'm here and I'm like making weird comments and I'm very uncomfortable. Like Seth Rogen, all of a sudden, ends up with the smoke show. It never happens in real life.
So true.
It's why it's a wonderful fantasy. It's why adult films exist. This is our royal wedding. Beautiful.
This is my favorite thing ever. I'm going to retweet it now from my Twitter account, which is at Grant H. Paulson, if you want to check out the image of them enjoying some TV. On the couch. And this could have been basically in, like, anywhere. I mean, I don't know if it's at her house. It seems like someone's home is being used for this hangout. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch next.
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Michael Phillips covers the Redskins for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He joins us now. Let's go out to Ashburn for the latest on the Skins. Michael, I want to start with the Dan Patrick comment yesterday. Wasn't a report. People are calling it that. That he has heard that receivers don't like Kirk Cousins very much and that there's not a great relationship between he and his receivers. He also speculated that some of the reporters around the team a lot have had a bunch of conversations with receivers about that. So I'm curious if you've had any of those conversations.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty easy one to debunk as these things go. First off, a little disappointed Brendan's off his game today. Didn't have my intro music ready. That's all right. We'll get it next time. You know, on to the next one. We'll start some behind-the-scenes rumblings there about how the producers feel about the guests or whatever. As far as the wide receivers go, you know, is it Ryan Grant? No, it's not Ryan Grant, obviously, the guy who's commended for his class and doesn't do interviews ever. Is it Jamison Crowder? That would be pretty odd. The guy who, probably single-handedly dug the hole they couldn't climb out of in the Cowboys game. Is it one of the other receivers on the team that seems highly unlikely? Is it the guy who left last year for San Francisco who grumbled about quarterbacks every time he was asked? Probably, yes. I don't read anything into that beyond he was a very good receiver who was always looking for more and never got the production level he wanted here. I'm sure he has similar frustrations in San Francisco. I wouldn't read anything into that as being a trend or thematic. Here's my bigger problem, though, which is the first report triggers this whole, oh, it's leak season for the Redskins. You know this game. Oh, it's December. The Redskins are a dumpster fire. And it's almost become a self-fulfilling prophecy if the national media hears, Redskins are a dumpster fire, they descend and make it a dumpster fire, whether it is one or not. I think it hurts their chances of running a competent football organization in these final 4 weeks.
At Michael P. RTD, give him a follow if you care about Redskins information. Miguel, the Jordan Reed situation, I'm frustrated. Fans are frustrated. I bet you teammates are probably frustrated. Jay sounded frustrated, but kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum when he made his comments defending Jordan Reed and kind of lamenting the injury-prone label, which, by the way, is deserved. He's injury-prone. He gets injured a lot. That doesn't make him a bad person. It's just what happened. He's missed a lot of game time. Where are we at on Jordan Reed and kind of the thoughts on him going forward rest of this year and then beyond?
I'm okay with the injury-prone label that says he's a guy who gets hurt a lot. The one I would push back against, and I think that bothers Jay, is when people call him soft. To me, soft implies a guy who does not want to play through injuries. I think you look at Jordan Reed's career, I have said many times on this program the exact opposite. He should not have been playing on several occasions. Suffered a concussion against the Baltimore Ravens, continued to play in the football game. There were a number of occasions where I felt it was in his best personal interest to not continue playing football, and he did. So he's not soft, but you're right, he's injury prone. And you move forward knowing that. I think he's still a unique enough talent that, you know, everybody's, just cut him, he's no good, trade him. When he's on, he's probably the best receiving tight end in football. He's the best pass catching tight end in football. I think you have to continue to work with that. And, you know, when you get that, you know that that's a good enough skill that it potentially wins a game or two for you over the course of a season.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch on Grant and Danny. It's becoming commonplace for people to analyze Zach Brown's fall off in the second half, while not substantial but obvious at this point, as, well, he's not playing next to Mason Foster or Will Compton anymore. We played beside for like 3 hours anyway. But I think it's more the guy's in a walking boot all the time, and he's got an Achilles where he's missing practices every single week. I think if he was playing next to Zach Vigil and it was September and he was that healthy, he'd be making 13 tackles and having the same impact. First, what's your take on that? Second, what do you think about what he said, that he'll rest in the offseason even though he doesn't have a contract for next year? He's just going to push through it.
Yeah, you know, I think he's trying to make a statement here to the organization about the kind of player he is to get that long-term contract. And, you know, we circle back to the comments I made a second ago. I don't know that that's in his best personal interest. To me, he's shown enough. You know, everybody's, you know, questioning him coming off of that Bills season. I was in that club. I was not wowed by the signing. I questioned if he'd be the week one starter. He showed me enough. I saw enough in those games where he was fully healthy, where he played with a full defense, that I would feel confident re-signing the guy this offseason. And now, you know, if they're giving him the whole, we need to see more, we need you out there routine, you know, that's because this is a football organization that does things like that. I'm not sure it's in his best personal interest to try to fight through this. I understand what he's doing, but if I were him, I'd shut it down. He's got enough good stuff on tape. I think many, many Redskins fans would be totally fine with him signing a long-term deal right now, shutting it down for the rest of 2017.
Who are some of the young guys, Mike? Well, Michael Phillips, Richmond Times Dispatch, is with us here on Grant Nanny. Who are some of the young guys that deserve a shot that you're curious to see here down these last four games? I'm thinking of Robert Davis, recently activated from the practice squad, more Fabian Moreau, some names like that. Are there some young guys that you want to evaluate?
You know, when you started the question, Robert Davis was the first name that popped into my mind. I think we're both in the Robert Davis fan club. He had a really good offseason in OTAs, and then for whatever reason in training camp and the preseason games, it just didn't show what he needed to show. Well, it wasn't very good. You know, it's tough to say with rookies, you know, was that emblematic of how things will play out for him over the next, you know, 5 years in the NFL, or did he have a bad month and it just happened to be a really poorly timed bad month? I'd love to see him out there, see what he can do, especially if Cousins, you know, is still playing, you know, get him passes from a real NFL quarterback in a game situation. I certainly like where that's headed. I think you're doing a lot of evaluation along the offensive line. The Sean Laval question is going to pop up as soon as this offseason ends. You know, do you need to bring back Sean Laval as a veteran solution for another season? Or is there a guy on the roster who you can play with confidence at that left guard position? I think that's the one position that stands out to me that you really need to get answers on that offensive line.
Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Jay Gruden was listed on an ESPN.com piece yesterday as being on a cool seat. Only one safer group of coaches, your Belichickian group, was on the cold seat. If you had to go cold, cool, lukewarm, warm, or hot, where would you slot him?
The only way I would suggest that Jay Gruden loses his job this offseason is if they lose out. Which would kind of self-fulfill the prophecy of the Redskins being a dumpster fire. I think it would become one if they lost out, given the schedule they face. You know, the NFL is such a reactionary business, and, you know, this owner in particular is known to be a reactionary owner. I've heard stories to that effect, that, you know, every week is its own emotional thing, and when you keep losing, when the losing streaks continue, that's when the frustration builds, and that's when these things start to kind of hit their critical breaking point. If they can just win one, get that breather, that's all everybody needs. They just need 1 week of positivity in Ashburn. I think Jay Gruden will deliver that. To me, the seat's cold. He's coming back next year.
Does Ryan Anderson still play for the Redskins? And have you seen him?
what a surprise. I mean, you know, just the raw athletic talent and what he's got. And I was very surprised to see him perform the way he has this year. He'll go into the offseason. He'll need to rebuild. I think that points to a broader discussion as well. About the kind of scheme they run in their defense and the kind of player they bring in, I don't think it's unfair to suggest that Ryan Anderson may not be the best player or the best fit for this Redskins scheme. Doesn't mean he's a bad football player. Doesn't mean the Redskins run a bad scheme. It does mean it might be a bad match between the two of them. If that's the case, you probably need to make that decision sooner rather than later so you can start moving forward.
Miguel, thank you, buddy. Much appreciated as always.
Thanks, dude.
Yes, sir.
That is Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch making you smarter on the Redskins. Next, our double play. We do it every day at 11:45. What's going on in our lives that has nothing to do with sport? I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan. We're on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, if you want to hit us up. Thanks, as always, for listening to the show. We know you've got a ton of options. Before we get to our double play, quick update. The Cleveland Browns have made a couple of announcements today. Notably,
one is unbelievable.
Moving on from an executive, Jimmy Haslam, their owner, saying that Sashi Brown is going to be out, relieved of his duties. He's been running their front office. But Hugh Jackson is going to remain the coach next season. Here is the quote from Haslam. Hugh Jackson will remain our coach and will return for the 2018 season, but we feel it is necessary to take significant steps to strengthen our personnel department. Hugh Jackson has been with the Browns for 28 games. They have won one of them, and he will be back next year, according to their owner.
We're not the worst. We're not the worst. We're not the worst. Dude, what are we doing here, Harry?
I can't believe that.
Let's try something brand new. Let's use analytics, and let's try some outside-the-box thinking to try to get ourselves off the mat. They gave that 2 years, and you're going to keep Hugh Jackson. I guess you tried to shortcut a long-term thing, and look what happened. You failed. Just keep doing what you're doing, Jimmy. You got it, buddy. Big thumbs up, Michelle Elizabeth Tanner style.
You got it, dude.
Keep rolling, pal.
Wow.
Do you, Jim?
He is safe. I mean, he had to have, when they came in and said, Hugh, you're going to be back next year, he probably went, what? Back where?
Here?
He's like, why? Why are you keeping me?
I've already packed my office up.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to come back here. To go 2-14 with you idiots again? No, thank you. Let me get out of here.
He would kill for 2-14.
That'd be a big improvement. Last year it was 1-15. This year it might be 0-16.
They got a shot.
They get worse by a game every year, so maybe they'll add a game to their schedule and go 0-17.
It will be -1-17.
Let's get to our double play.
I have wanted to talk about this program the entirety of the week, but things keep coming up. Not this time. Not today. Not this day. On this day, we fight. Godless, Danny Ruye show review. Watch this show. Watch this show. Godless on Netflix, starring Jack O'Connell, plays, it's a Western. He plays Roy Good. You've got a guy that steals the show here, of course, and Jeff Daniels, who plays an evil gangster riding around with a group of ne'er-do-wells that he basically rescues, named Frank Griffin. Frank Griffin is terrorizing these Midwestern towns that are very small. They can't really sustain. There's not enough law. It's the Wild Wild West. It is as good a Western. It's on par with Deadwood. People need to realize what I'm saying. One of the great television programs ever that came along before its time, because HBO couldn't afford to keep it up. This is before the days of trillion-dollar budgets for CGI dragons that we have on Game of Thrones. Deadwood went away, and it was tragic. It was awful. Godless is on that level. It's only 7 episodes, so Grant, it's not too daunting for you to get in.
Will I like it?
If you don't like this, I would be absolutely stunned.
Really?
This show is excellent. Excellent is what I'm telling you. Michelle Dockery, who people know from, she was Lady Mary on Downton Abbey. She's been in a bunch of different things. Very beautiful. She plays a character.
What's her name?
Michelle Dockery. That she's got title billing on the show. When they show you who's in it, it's Jeff Daniels, Michelle Dockery. She's actually, her character is kind of supporting. It's a good role, but there's nothing special about it. A woman named Merritt Weaver, who I'd never heard of and never seen anything before. Apparently, she stars in a show called Nurse Jackie, which I've never watched. Steals this show. She is incredible in it. It is excellent. Basic premise, again, not spoiling anything for anybody. You've got a malicious and evil gangster named Frank Griffin riding around terrorizing people. Roy Good, who is our hero in the story, has done him wrong, and you eventually realize what and how and how it came about. The best shows have the best villains. And Jeff Daniels is an incredible villain. I find the best villains, GP, not the James Bond-style megalomaniacs that want to take over the world. Not like that. It's the guy that thinks he's right. It's someone that isn't totally bad, that has a little bit of righteousness on their side. So they're capable of goodness, but they believe that they're correct doing what's supposed to be done. That's what this character is. Jeff Daniels, again, is outstanding in the show. It is brilliant. It is great. There's complication. There's layers. It's well shot. It's gorgeous. I cannot recommend Godless enough. It is a must watch for human beings that enjoy good entertainment.
I'm going to give it a go. I also would like to point out that Jeff Daniels has had a hell of a run.
A Duke and act.
I mean, from being Harry Dunn to now, who saw this coming? I actually thought he was really good in The Martian. He was really good in The Newsroom. You look at just the last few years of his career and what he's been doing, he's making hits. He was in Steve Jobs.
He had a whisper quiet, excellent role in Looper, too, where he's a badass gangster. Yeah.
There was another movie. Was it State of Play that I liked him in? He was in another really good movie that was kind of overlooked a handful of years ago. But Jim Carrey's doing whatever Jim Carrey's doing. I have no idea. And he's now a guy that, like, when I think about him, I get sad because his life is weird at this point. Jeff Daniels is the guy, man. He's doing some big things. All right, it is time for my double play. Here's what I've got for you. I think this will intrigue you, even though you won't benefit from it.
All right.
This was sent to me online a couple days ago. A theater chain is launching a Netflix-like subscription plan. So in this area, we basically have movie theaters that I attend are, generally speaking, Regal and AMC. Those are kind of your two major leagues, if you will. One of the other biggest chains in the country is called Cinemark. Are you familiar with Cinemark?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Is there a Cinemark around here? Somebody tweet me if you know of one, at Grant H. Paulson. The biggest movie chains in America, they qualify into that conversation. They have this idea where they unveiled yesterday a movie club, which is a monthly plan that is going to let people buy a movie ticket. Every single month, you pay $9 and you get a ticket to go see one movie. If you don't go in that month or you don't want to see a movie that month, nothing comes out that you like, you roll your tickets over to the following month. So let's say that this month I have my ticket. I spent my $9 a month like I do $10 for Spotify. It's just a reduced movie ticket. If I was going to go to one movie anyway, I was going to spend, what, $14 now, $13.50 on a ticket probably for a night, Friday night showing. I already have my ticket purchased by my $8.99 a month. I'll go see my one movie. If I don't go see that movie this time, I can have two tickets
you pay
at $8.99.
That's good.
For the next time, and I'll take the fiance with me. See, the thing I like to do that I've talked about on the show before is I'm part of this thing where you pay $30 a month and you get unlimited movies, which is amazing. $30 a month is kind of a lot unless you go to a ton of movies, which I like to do. But you can't roll over movies and you can't ever bring someone with you. So, like for me, I could use my $30 a month, get my ticket printed. Someone's still got to go pay their $14 if they're coming with me. This is cool because you can roll it over. So if I haven't gone to a movie in 6 months and I'm just paying for the service, I could go seven straight days in the seventh month because I got seven tickets. Or I could go take a family of six in that seventh month to the movie. Cinemark, pretty cool idea. They're patterning it after Netflix. You're paying upfront every single month.
I like this.
With a rollover option.
I like that. I like that it doesn't expire.
Apparently,
you didn't
people
use it, so
do
up
not
yours.
Go to the movies anymore. I don't notice that because oftentimes they're packed when I'm there. But reading this story via CNN Money, I don't know if they're like, apparently they're saying that all of the actors and actresses getting in trouble in the last few weeks has had a turn for the worse, but you've also got just people staying home and binging things. I mean, the game is changing.
Yeah,
so
entertainment's
changing.
Less. It's the same thing the NFL's facing. It's much easier to be comfortable at home because on-demand has changed the game. Netflix has changed the game. It's very rarely now worth it for me to go to a movie because, again, for everybody that's in my situation that's got kids or got a kid or you know has to deal with stuff like that, you've got to get a babysitter. You've got to arrange that. You got to do all these different things just to go see a $9 movie. That's not true anymore. Now with Netflix and whatever else, again, that has changed the game. So it's very rarely worth it to me. So it's worth it, for example, for Star Wars. As soon as Star Wars comes out, I'm seeing it so many times, everyone has to deal with me and deal with my life based on that. But like something else comes out, like things that I like, I didn't even go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I didn't go see Thor. I didn't go see Wonder Woman. I want to see those things. It's sort of like, I'll wait. This is a way to get people back out. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. That is our double play. We do it each day at 11:45. We'll go blitzing around the Beltway at noon at 12:18. Let's talk Jordan Reed's future with the Redskins. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.